Praise the Lord, everybody. So, welcome to Tuesday Night Bible Study. Welcome to Tuesday Night Bible Study. And let's go ahead and get started on the announcements so far. So, Pentecost Sunday is May the 28th. If I'm not mistaken, that's actually next Sunday. It looks to be like it is next Sunday. Section 3 rally is going to be in, I want to say this says Vanceburg, or yeah, I think it says Vanceburg, Apostolic Church, and that's on Friday, June the 2nd, and that's going to be at 7:30 p.m. And then the Kentucky District Camp Meeting is going to also be in June. And that's going to be at the Crown Plaza in Louisville, Kentucky. And that's going to be June 14th to June 16th. And then we have another Section 3 rally for the month of July. And that's going to be on Friday, July 7th. And that's going to be in McVeigh. So McVeigh UPC. And that's also going to be at 7:30. And then we have the Section 3 Hyphen Field Day. And that's going to be Saturday, July 8th. And then we also have the CAC 26th anniversary service, and that's going to be July 16th, and that's going to be a Sunday, and that's going to be at 11 a.m. So there's a cookout following service, and there's going to be guests, and that's going to be the Harvest Apostolic Church, and the guest speaker is going to be Michael Pullins. And if I'm not mistaken, we're also that. There is a possibility that, in one of those ways of we haven't made the decision yet, but we may actually go over, PAC might actually go over to CAC that Sunday. That's not been a final decision or anything, but that is something that is possible to happen. So stay tuned on that. On whether or not we'll actually be going to CAC that Sunday. And then also we have our prayer requests. So Pastor actually sent out the prayer request list. I want to say it was yesterday. And so there's 44 names it looks to be on that list so far. And not all of those, well, some of those entries actually have multiple names, so there's more than 44. But I'll read off a couple of the last names. Let's remember Shane Hurley, Doug Brewer, Jake Dotson, Rita Cure, James Warrix, Keith Bartley, John Justice, Tabitha D. Hart, Yvette Triplett, Jerry Tasha, Liam and Natalie Day, Sis Lisa Rose, Willa Adams, Tilda Bryant, Ray Sturgill, Michael Justice, the Thomas Briggs Sr., sorry, I don't know why I said the Stanley Charles family, the William Working family, Sister Sue, Sister Debbie, Sister Diane, and then also at the bottom of the list it says Doug Brewer again. So let's remember them in prayer. And let's go before the Lord for these names on this list. O Lord Jesus God, we come before you, O Lord God. We ask, God, that you touch each and every person, God, on this list, O Lord. God, you heard the names that I just said out loud, God, but you know each and every heart and every mind and every need that's on this list, O Lord. You know every single person and their situations, O Lord. And I ask, God, that you reach down in each and every single one of their lives, O Lord. And God, that you give them a touch, God, whether it's a physical healing that they need, O Lord. Lord, whether it's a mental thing, O Lord, whether it's a heart problem, O Lord, you know their situations and you know their hearts and their minds, God, and you know, God, if they need physical healings, O Lord. So we ask, God, that you touch each and every situation, God, that's on this list, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So that's going to be the prayer request. I'm going to move that over there. So, while preparing for tonight's Bible study, I actually had I've had two things on my mind. Two things that I didn't think went together right away, but after praying a little bit, it actually kind of goes together more than I actually thought it did. On Sunday we were talking about how we get our messages and everything, and normally God gives me an idea or a thought, but I actually sat down and I asked God, what do you want for tonight, for this Bible study, and a chapter came to my mind. And so that's a little bit different than how I normally get my messages or anything. So I'm excited tonight. So the chapter that came to my mind is James 3. And we're going to be focusing on certain parts of James 3. And I'll go ahead and actually go ahead and just read part of James 3 that I want to mention tonight. So James 3, starting at verse number 8, says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." And I actually want to continue reading real quick, actually until the end of the chapter right here. "So who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without part..." I have some issues with some words sometimes. "Partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So let's go before the Lord in prayer for tonight's Bible study. So Lord Jesus God, we come before you, O Lord God, and we ask that you touch... Well, that you touch each and every heart and every mind, God, listening by way of the web tonight, O Lord. God, that you touch me, O Lord. God, that you anoint me, God, to give this Bible study, O Lord. God, that you don't let me say anything, God, that you don't want me to say, O Lord. God, that you would touch my mouth, God, and that you help me give this Tuesday night Bible study, O Lord. That you touch each and every heart and every mind, O Lord, in your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, with this, I said I had two things mainly on my mind for James for tonight's Bible study, and it's going to be James 3, what I just read, but also if you listened to Sunday and about how I talked about the children of Israel in the wilderness, that's something that really stuck with me. Because with this, there's actually something that you can actually see happening in the children of Israel when it comes to their speech. When it comes down to what they're actually saying and everything that's going on in the situation. On Sunday, and I know that this may be strange that I'm mentioning, Sunday and everything like that, and Sunday's message, but it was really on my heart. On Sunday, I mentioned about how the people's reaction to hearing what the spies said, and about how, the people began to turn against Moses and Aaron, and about how they began to say things. They began to say, well, let's stone them. And they began to say, you know, well, let's go back to Egypt. You know, let's choose somebody over us and let's just go back to Egypt. Because the enemy's going to come after us and the enemy's going to destroy us. And in verse 11 of Numbers 14, you know, I mentioned about how the Lord said unto Moses, how long will the people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? And he wanted to smite them. And he wanted to disinherit them. And he even said, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. So he said that to Moses, and Moses was like, you know, let's slow down a little bit. You know, the reason this kind of goes together in the way that I was thinking is you need to watch what you say and you need to watch how you say certain things. You know, at almost every turn that the people of Israel encountered, you know, in the wilderness, you know, they complained about what happened a lot of the times, and they even said, well, let's go back to Egypt. This honestly isn't the first time that they said, let's go back to Egypt. They kept saying, well, you know, Egypt was better than this. Egypt, let's go back. You know, it wasn't this bad, Moses, in Egypt. And so they kept complaining, and what came out of their mouth wasn't necessarily, you know, the best thing to come out of their mouth. It wasn't something that actually, you know, praised the Lord. And it actually showed doubt upon. And one thing that I find interesting is you see at multiple points, you know, that they're supposed to be, you know, they're worshiping the Lord one minute, and then they're turning around. Oh, my computer screen went black for a second, so I wasn't sure if I lost you. But, you know, and then they turn around, and then they start going, well, Moses, what's going on? You know, Moses, let's go back to Egypt. It was better there. So they go from worshiping the Lord and following after him into cursing man. And so they complained every step of the way. They complained every single thing that happened. Well, maybe not every single thing, but the big things. You know, they complained about the water being too bitter. They complained about a lot of things, actually. I'm starting to get a smile on my face because I'm thinking. And they complained about, you know, well, why can't we have other food? They complained about, well, the spies report is bad, so I guess we're just supposed to be destroyed in the wilderness. I guess we're supposed to be destroyed. And that what they said showed what was actually in their hearts. What they said showed what actually was what they believed. You know, and I mentioned that they even actually complained even before they left Egypt, right? You know, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that in Genesis 15, I think I actually have it marked in my Bible real quick. So Genesis 15, verses 13 to 16. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with a great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So the reason I read that is, it says right here that, you know, It was already in the books. You know, Jesus says it is written. Well, it is written right here. You know, Moses could have looked to them and was like, you know, it's written. It's already been promised that we're coming out of Egypt. You know, and so while they were in Egypt, they should have known. They were probably told stories. You know, they were probably told, you know, we're getting out of Egypt one day. Not necessarily sure what day we're getting out of Egypt, but we're getting out of Egypt one day. And so imagine growing up in a place that you get treated horribly. And you hear that God promised that one day you're going to be taken out of that place. And then you see the startings of it. And you just respond, hey Moses, it ain't that bad. Stop making things worse for us. Because that's what they did. That's what they did. They saw what Moses was starting to do. And they said, Moses, you're just making it harder for us. Moses, we know what's been said, but you're just making it harder. Imagine that. You know, I actually don't necessarily have to imagine it, because as I was writing this down, that actually came to my mind. That there's a lot of people that think that way today. You know, at some point, no man knows the day or the hour, but the Lord's coming back, right? Now, we don't know when exactly, but we know He's coming back. So, we know He's coming back. And so when people are preaching and people are saying, you know, you got to do this for the Lord, and you got to make sure that this is happening, and you got to make sure that you're living right, you know, the responses of, oh, well, I don't necessarily like it that way, so I'm not going to do that. Oh, well, this person, hey, we know what it says, but we don't necessarily, you know, want to do it that much. That's not necessarily it's not close enough to that time yet. You know, in Moses' case, I don't know if anybody was counting down the clock of 400 years, right? I don't know if anybody was like, you know, it's about time, but I can tell you that it's in the end times. I don't know if it's going to be 40 years, or I don't know if it's going to be four hours. I don't know, but I do know that it's coming close. I know that time is coming close. And we need to make sure that we actually have that faith in God for us to actually carry through on what God has said. Because even from the beginning, the children of Israel can be seen saying things like, Moses, you're making it harder for us. Moses, I want to go back to Egypt. Moses, I want to go back to my bondage. They're chasing after us, Moses. Maybe if we just give up, then they'll take us back. You know, we need to make sure that we have a sure heart on God. There was something that, you know, I actually think, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but that's okay. There was something that I thought a couple, probably about a month ago now, maybe 2 months ago, but the thought was just as simple as, how can somebody have their faith in the Lord and turn around and curse God due to something bad happening? The children of Israel, how could they have seen what God had done? How could they have seen all of the things that God brought them through? How could they have worshipped God in one moment, but turned around and said, I want to go back to Egypt? How can that happen if they truly had a heart after God? You know, we need to make sure that we actually separate ourselves from the world. We need to make sure that we actually get away from the mentality of, Lord, we need to make sure that we get rid of this mentality. You've brought me through a lot, but I don't know if I can handle if you make me go through this. There's too many people that say that their faith is unshakable, but at the first sign of an earthquake, they disappear. There's too many times that somebody's like, I've been here for 20 years, and as soon as something absolutely horrible happens, they're like, that 20 years didn't mean anything. We need to make sure that we have that faith in God. We need to make sure that we actually mean what we're saying and that we're actually getting closer to the Lord. We need to make sure that we're actually going after God. And I'll jump back to where I was before that, because there were a couple places that the children of Israel kept saying things like, let's go back. Right before the Red Sea, right before God parted the Red Sea, they were looking at the enemy saying, well, why did you carry us out of Egypt just to die out here? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. How many times do we see something that God does for us, and it's so amazing, and it's crazy to us? But we're like, it's like somebody forgets about it the next week. Well, didn't God just bring you through that? Yeah, but what I'm going through this week is just too hard. God's going to fight for us. God does fight for us. And sometimes we just need to hold our peace. How many times, and I'll go ahead and say this, how many times do you see a situation? Do you see that situation? And you think, man, that's a horrible situation. And you say something before you know all the details about the situation. And turns out the situation's already been dealt with, and you were just saying something that didn't need to be said. Sometimes we need to just make sure that, we ask God to handle the situation, and we actually hand it to God rather than complaining about it on and on and on. Because too many times we complain about something that God's already got his hand on. And it just makes us, at the end of the situation, I'll tell you, there's been a couple times in situations that I've said something that I turn around and turns out that the situation has already been dealt with. In work, I talk about those things. Of sometimes we respond in the moment, but we don't respond with all the information. God is the only one who has all the information. So why not we trust in him? So why not we say, okay, God, I don't understand what's going on right now, and just hold on to what he has. Hold on to what he said. Hold on to where he's taking us. So I want to read some of where we started with real quick. And I got a couple things. I got a lot of notes. Oh, I just realized something. I just realized that I actually removed my bookmark. Well, I said this on Sunday. I use these bulletins as bookmarks. I removed my bookmark on my chapter, so I had to turn to it real quick. So verses of James 3, where we started with, you know, I want to first go with verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the multitude of God. You know, actually, I'll go ahead and continue reading real quick. And out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. There's something that I want to mention that the children of Israel did this quite often. You know, they praised the Lord one minute, but as soon as a problem came, they began saying, Moses, why did you bring us out here? But while reading this, it made me think of Aaron and Miriam, and in Numbers 12, and I'll read a little bit out of Numbers 12 for you. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Now my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him shall I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the multitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And it actually continues to say, And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. You know, how can you say, because it made me think of right here, verse 9, Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Miriam and Aaron, you know, they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. He was saying, the Lord's used us, right? The Lord's used us to do some great things. So, but in that first verse, you know, it says Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. You know, we need to be careful about what we say. God has chosen to use certain people for certain things. You know, God chose to use Moses. And Aaron and Miriam was like, well, he's married to an Ethiopian woman, so how can this be so? Well, Moses was a very meek man. And we'll get to that in a second, but Moses was a very meek man. And Aaron and Miriam in that moment was like, well, God's used us too. Why can't we be like Moses? You know, we need to be careful about when we say things like that. You know, God uses different people for different things at different times. You know, and it even says right here, you know, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. You know, we need to make sure that we actually follow what God says. You know, if God says that this person's going to do that thing, then we got to accept it. You know, we got to say, okay, Lord. You know, if God tells us to go somewhere, we need to say, okay, Lord. If God tells us to do something, we need to say, okay, Lord. We can't just, you know, praise Him when things are going good for us. At verses 11 and 12 right here, I'm going to move this out of the way so I can flip the page on my notes. Verses 11 and 12 right here says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh." You know, I'm going to read what the Apostolic Study Bible says right here. "The illustrations of the water spring, fig tree, and grapevine reinforce the idea that the tongue merely reveals its source." The tongue reveals its source, the heart. "And each source produces only according to its nature. Thus evil words disclose an evil source." You know, we need to be careful what we say, but we also need to be careful what's going on in our heart. We need to make sure that the source is right. We need to make sure that the source is actually something that's of God. Because, well, the Bible says, you know, to be angry and sin not, right? So, when we're angry, we need to make sure that that anger does not become the source for our actions. We need to make sure that God stays the source. We need to make sure that our desire to serve God and our hope for the best things that God has for us is the source. We can't let the things of the world become the source of our actions. We got to make sure that that source is a true source, is a good source. You know, and that's why I mentioned about, you know, the faith aspect of, you know, praising God, but when something bad happens, you know, is the source still our faith in God? Are we still as solid in what God has told us as what we were before the bad thing happened? You know, the children of Israel let the bad thing that happened guide them. They let the bad thing be the source. You know, in the story of the 12 spies, they let the 10 spies be the source. They let the bad report, the evil report that they gave, be the source. You know, the "we can't overcome the enemy" be the source. And when they let the "we can't overcome the enemy" be the source, that source took over and they wanted to stone. They wanted to stone Aaron and Moses. And the Lord came down in that moment and was like, let me read what it says. You know, I probably actually moved my notes on that one too. I didn't. And it says, well, I'll start at verse 10 in Numbers 14. "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long are these people going to provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me?" You know, we need to let the source be, well, I'm going to say our testimony. You know, we know where God's brought us from. Because the next thing right here is, "For all the signs which I have showed among them, I've done all of these things for the children of Israel, and they still haven't actually grown to have faith in me. You know, I've done all these things to protect them. I've done all these things for them. So what's going on? You know, it's one of those things that when we get, if we get caught up in the world, then that's going to become the source that's going to flow from it, or that's going to produce fruit. We need to have the source be God. We have to have the source be our faith in God. We have to know that He is the one that's actually guiding our steps. We need to watch what we say in certain situations. We need to make sure that we don't necessarily just get caught up in what's happening. We need to make sure that we're actually going after God in each and every situation that He puts us in. We need to make sure that He's the source. You know, the source shows our true heart and our feelings and what matters to us. You know, I mentioned that I'd come back to the meekness that it mentioned with Moses. And let me read James 3 again, but this time at verse 13, and I'll go down a little bit. So who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You know, I'm gonna read more out of the Apostolic Study Bible, because it's a good thing. And it says that the two characteristics of earthly wisdom are envy and self-seeking, and both seek to destroy others while building up oneself. Both seek to destroy others while building up oneself, and the greatest goal of genuine Christians is to build up or edify others. You know, we saw with Miriam and Aaron how they were trying to build up themselves in that moment. You know, and they did get punished for it. And if you want to read about that, that's in Numbers 12. But they were trying to build up themselves in that moment. You know, the Lord didn't only speak to Moses, but Moses had the meekness. Moses had enough humility to just let God use him. You know, he followed rather than tried to control. You know, and something that you notice is that the leaders that God puts up are the ones that know how to follow. But they aren't the ones that know how to follow the world. They're the ones that know how to follow after God. We need to make sure that we learn how to follow after God. We need to make sure that we learn how to actually know, you know, where God is. We need to make sure that we don't just say things out of envy and strife. We don't say things just to start conflict. We don't say things in order to stir something up. We say things to lift others up. We say things to help build rather than destroy. You know, verse 17 right here says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, I'm gonna read what it says in the study Bible real quick. And it says, heavenly wisdom is not tainted by envy and self-seeking. It is pure because it has the welfare of others at heart. Peacemakers rather than dividing people. Looking for opportunities to bring others together. Gentleness stands in sharp contrast to the harshness that results from envy and self-seeking. And the word translated of easy to be entreated signifies a willingness to yield, while earthly wisdom is unbending and obstinate in its effort to force its own way. Heavenly wisdom causes one to listen and to look for ways to accommodate others. You know, Moses wasn't looking to necessarily just force his way on other people. Moses was looking to teach other people about the ways of God and making sure that they followed after the ways of God. You know, I think Moses is actually a pretty good example right here of what needs, you know, of what we need to do in these situations. You know, we need to make sure that we handle the situation in a godly way. We need to make sure that we don't necessarily get upset at every single thing that the people in front of us say. We need to make sure that we have a godly source that we speak through, rather than a source of just starting conflict or envy or trying to put ourselves ahead. You know, Moses, he served before he led. He was under before he actually got over the people. And Moses had to actually learn how to lead effectively. And something that we need to do is make sure that we put God first and follow after Him. You know, some people like to control situations, and we can't control every situation. We just need to learn how to follow God. And so, that's the Bible study for tonight. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, and let's pray that we try to stay meek. We make sure that we don't speak out of envy. We don't speak out of causing conflict. We don't speak, you know, just to curse others, but to build others up. So, Lord Jesus, God, we come before You, O Lord God, and we ask, God, that You touch each and every one of our hearts and our minds, O Lord. God, that You touch us, God, and that You lead us, God, to be people, God, who follow after You, O Lord. And God, who learn and who know how to speak in a way that You want us to speak, O Lord. God, that You change, God, our hearts, God, to be a good source, God, of what You want us to say and what You want us to do, O Lord. God, that You take out the parts, God, that You don't want to be leading us in our lives, God, and even the parts, God, that You just don't want to be in our lives, O Lord. We praise You and we thank You, O Lord, in Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.